One more announcement, and that is choir. Choir 4:30. So if you want to be involved in choir, let Andrew know, and then meeting here at the church at 4:30. Trying to get a few things, songs organised for some special occasions like Easter and the opening of our new building. It'd be a shame if we have to delay the opening because choir isn't ready. All right, so that would be terrible. So make sure you're ready. Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the day. As we stop and put aside the things of this world, we do pray that you would help us to concentrate on your word this morning. Allow your spirit to be the minister to our hearts. And Father, I pray that we would put aside the things we may be planning to do today, later on, and just allow you to be first in this time, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I suspect everyone has a favourite story in the Bible, and I don't want to lay down and say I have one favourite. I've probably got a few favourites, but certainly one of the favourites would have to be the life of Joseph. There is so much to like about this man, and there is so much to learn about this man as well. Joseph went through what you would only be able to call a whirlwind, and he came out the other side intact with the right spirit about him, when most people certainly wouldn't if they went through similar circumstances. Because for Joseph, for the first at least 30 years of his life, it was full of either a very high or a very low. He went through highs and lows. It wasn't a nice, steady, average life. That's the sort of life I like, just one that's steady. Steady wins the race, so to speak. Yet for Joseph, it was either way up or way down. And I'm sure he was confused half the time of his life, wondering what on earth was going on in the various things that he had to go through. And most of you know the story of Joseph. I don't have to go into great detail of the circumstances that he went through. But I do want to, first of all, highlight some of these highs and particularly the lows, because there's some things I want us to learn about them as we come together at the end of the message this morning and apply some things. So let me just skip through the life of Joseph and show you some of the highs and some of the lows of his life and see if you can pull them together as well in your own mind. And let's turn to Genesis chapter 37, and this is where we probably are introduced to the first high in Joseph's life, where we are told that he was the favorite son of 12 boys, and that would be no mean feat. And I suspect there would have been a bit of a competition for their father's heart, but Joseph was the one who won it, and he was the favorite. It says there in Genesis 37, verse 3, "Now Israel," which is another name for Jacob, "loved Joseph more than all his children. Because he was the son of his old age, he made him a coat of many colors." And so Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children. Let's remember, that would include his daughters as well. Sometimes it's easy for me to say that, well, I've got daughter-in-laws now, it's getting a little bit harder, but you know, your daughter, if you only have one, they can be special. But when you're like Ian and you've got so many, well, then that's a lot harder. You've got to share that love with so many. But daughters can hold a special place in a father's heart. Yet we see here that Joseph was loved above all the children, not just the brothers, but also his sisters as well. And we know that that brought about him receiving a coat of many colours, and that could mean a number of things. But I don't think the favouritism just started and ended there. I suspect that he, being the favourite, he probably wasn't chastised as much as the others. He wasn't as hardly done by with his father as others. I suspect he was always praised, and even the father turned a bit of a blind eye to some of the things that Joseph may have done wrong as well. And so there would have been some benefits of being the favourite. But then comes a low, and we see that very quickly in verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And so there are two things here. Now, obviously, it's very dangerous to show favoritism. All it does is actually cause division within a family, or anywhere really, and it certainly divided Joseph amongst his brothers. And as we see there, it says two things about their thoughts or their actions towards Joseph. One, it says that they hated him. And we looked at that word hate before, and hate is a very extreme thing. You can't think or wish, you wish ill upon someone, you can't think anything nice upon someone. Hatred towards someone is a bad thing. And Joseph had all his brothers hating him. Now that's a sad thing to happen. Not only that, it says that they could not speak peaceably to him. And that means they, due to their hatred, they couldn't find it in themselves to say anything nice to him or about him. And so when Joseph was around, they spoke to him unkindly. When he wasn't around, they spoke about him unkindly. I suspect they were very quick to make fun of him and single him out and put him down. This would have been a difficult atmosphere for Joseph to live in. And it wasn't as if there was just one brother like that. There's another 11. And who knows about the sisters as well. And so this would have been a very difficult and uneasy circumstance for Joseph to be in. Yes, he had the high of his being the favourite of his father, but it came with a lot of lows as well. And we know the story of how God gave him the thrill of dreams. Now that's a bit of a high as well. Wow, God revealing dreams to you. But we know that that was quickly followed with a low when he explained it to his brothers and his father, that they all turned on him because of that. And so we understand that as the hatred grew towards Joseph, the brothers got to the point where they thought the best way to eliminate their frustration was to eliminate Joseph. They first wanted to kill him, and then circumstances, we know, was under the sovereign hand of God. That wasn't to be the case, and they sold him as a slave. And so Joseph, the favorite son of Jacob, the one who God gave dreams to, was sold by his brothers as a slave. Now, I know brothers can be mean to each other at times, and they can certainly be a bit harsh, but this is to an extraordinary measure. And that's often how it happens in families. Some people have hard times, and then others have extraordinarily bad times because of one reason or another, because of how they were treated by their parents or by their siblings or whatever it may be. These are harsh, terrible circumstances. And if Joseph was to be put into one of the categories, just normal hard times or harsh extreme circumstances, he goes into the harsh extreme circumstances. Not many people have to go through this with their siblings. And I suspect, I'm sure, on his way to Egypt, Joseph felt lower than he had ever felt before. I suspect, or I'm sure, he felt scared, he felt confused. He may even have been angry, wondering what on earth was going on. But then things seem to look up for Joseph. And he was bought by Potiphar, one of the highest men in the land. You know, when you think of the sovereignty of God in his workings here, he could have been bought by anybody. He could have been bought by, haven't even thought ahead that far, but think of who he could have been bought by. Yet he was bought by Potiphar. And we read in chapter 39 that he found favour. Verse 3, and His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found favor in his sight, and he served him, and he made him the overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And so now things are looking up. He wasn't an ordinary slave. He was head over the house of one of the most important men in Egypt. And I suspect that living conditions and life would have probably been even much better than being back home with his father. This would have been a very comfortable way of life. And so things were looking good once again. This was one of his highs, if you can call being a servant or a slave to someone a high, all right? But in the context of his life, this was another high. That was until he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And we read that in chapter 29. Well, the outcome of that in verse 19 and 20. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place of the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. And so things are looking really bad now. Having the captain of the guard angry with you is a bad thing, I'm here to tell you. And we see here that even though he spoke the truth, he was honorable to Potiphar, and he was actually doing the right thing by his master. He was not believed, and he had to suffer wrongfully for that. And he was put into a prison, a rather dangerous, scary prison. And now he is in big trouble again. And it's good to point out that he's in big trouble again through no fault of his own. I think there's a big difference here. A lot of people go through difficult times. They find themselves in circumstances that are not pleasant. And often it's a result of their own sin, their own stupidity, or their own bad decisions. They make decisions and it ends up being miserable for them. Maybe they don't listen to the counsel of others, and now life is terrible and they feel sorry for themselves, when in reality they are the cause of these problems. They can't actually blame anyone but themselves. But Joseph didn't do anything wrong. He stood against evil and he did what was right, and he still suffered for it. Don't we often have the mentality that if I do what's right and I stand for what God wants, well, then things will work out right. I won't have to suffer injustices. We have that in our brain, even though we get taught that's not the case in the Word of God. We seem to forget what God says about that. Don't think because if you stand up for right at home or at work or wherever it may be, that you're not going to suffer injustices. It still happens. We know Jesus said, blessed are you if you suffer wrongfully, all right, when you don't deserve it. And that's exactly what happened to Joseph as well. And he was put in this dirty, dingy, miserable prison for no crime of his own. And so things were very low once again. We know, though, that in the prison there was hope of being released. And I'm sure if you've been to Sunday school, you would have heard that story a number of times. When he interpreted the king's butler's dream, the butler said that he would help Joseph when he gets out. I'll speak a good word for you. And so things are looking good. But in verse chapter 40, verse 23, we read, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. After all the good news that Joseph gave the butler and helped him, when everything worked out for the butler and he was happy, he completely forgot about Joseph. And so that would have been very discouraging as well. Now, yeah, he may have been the golden child in the prison, and the prison ward liked Joseph, but let's not kid ourselves. It still wouldn't have been nice to be there. Right? It wouldn't have been a pleasant experience. But what we notice when you go through the life of Joseph is all throughout his life, everyone that he came into contact with that we are introduced to seemed to let him down. in one way or another. Have you stopped to think of that? Everyone seemed to let him down. His father actually let him down by showing favoritism. His brothers let him down by wanting to kill him and selling him off. Potiphar's wife let him down by telling lies about him. Potiphar let him down by not believing him when he was trying to tell the truth. The butler let him down by forgetting him when he promised that he would help. Everyone seemed to let him down, and it would have been very hard to trust anybody. I suspect when you're Joseph. And what I want us to notice first of all this morning is that the ways that people hurt Joseph are usually the same ways that people hurt us in our lives as we go through this life. The hurts that we experience from others usually come in the form or from one of these ways. Let me explain. For some, their hurts, their traumatic experiences come as a result of their parents, just like it was with Jacob. Jacob's sin really and actions brought hurt to Joseph. And that is often how it comes. Some may have parents, and because of their sinful actions, because of their decisions they've made in the life, their life, it's caused you to go through certain things, and you have to be the one that suffers because of their actions. It happens a lot. For others, some people act like Joseph's brothers. It may be literally your brothers, it might be your brothers and sisters in Christ, or it might just be people out there in the world. But for some reason, some people have it in for you for one reason or another. It may be because you're a Christian, it may be because they don't like your personality, it might be because they're jealous of you, but at times people don't like you and don't want to show any kindness to you whatsoever. In fact, they treat you unkindly. And they act like Joseph's brothers. Some people in life act like Potiphar's wife. Tell lies about us to make themselves look good. They may even be the one in the wrong, but they cover up their actions by telling lies about you, and you're the one that's looked bad. Some people tell lies about you. They know what they're doing and they mean to do it. Other times people tell lies about you thinking it's the truth, but in reality it isn't. But they spread rumors only telling one side of the story, and people hear what they are really, just lies about you. And when that happens, it hurts. We all know that. Some people act towards us like Potiphar's wife. Some people act like Potiphar. You actually tell the truth, you try to do what's right, but they don't believe you. And so you're telling the truth, but they simply reject what you're saying. Just like Potiphar did when Joseph tried to defend himself. Yet some people treat us like the butler did to Joseph. They promise to do something, but they forget us. They invite people, but forget you. They show a lot of interest in others, but they don't show it in you. You are forgotten by some people, and we all know what that feels like. I don't think you can go through life without not feeling forgotten by someone or a group of people. It's just the reality of life. We all know what it's like in that regard. And Joseph experienced these same things in his life. The only difference between Joseph and when he experienced these things and us is that when people did it to Joseph, he had a greater impact on his life. Has anyone sold you as a slave lately? You may feel like a slave, some of you ladies, to your children, but you weren't sold as a slave in doing so. That generally doesn't come to pass. I haven't heard it happening here in Australia, at least. Has someone's lie brought about you going to prison? I know it has happened to some people when they're falsely accused, but I don't know of any of you that have had that happen to you. Now, when people let us down, it usually only hurts our feelings and may have some sort of impact on our life in other ways, emotionally or physically. But when Joseph was hurt, it changed the direction of his life. When these people hurt him, it changed the whole direction of his life. And he would be on a high one moment, and then someone would come along and destroy it all. Yet we know things finally worked out for Joseph, didn't it? And the butler finally remembered him when the Pharaoh had a dream and no one could tell it. Ah, he remembered Joseph. And Joseph was able to explain the Pharaoh's dream, and he warned him of the 7 years of good and then the 7 years of drought that would come. And Pharaoh rewarded Joseph for it. It's worth reading in chapter 41, verses 39 to 45. It says, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain upon his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. Now that's a bit of a downer, but anyway, we could have stuck with Joseph. Anyway, and he gave him to wife Aseneth, the daughter of Potipherah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt." And so we can confidently say that he is certainly on a extreme high in life now. All of a sudden, he has become the second in charge of Egypt, the most powerful nation at that time. And not only that, he was given all that really the world could offer him. And I don't know which order you want to put this in, all right? I've got it in this order, but maybe I shouldn't have put it in this order. But I'll stick to my notes. Riches, a wife. Maybe it should be wife first, all right? A wife, riches, honor, power, whatever it is the world could give, righteously give, Joseph enjoyed it. This is far better than even being dad's favorite. And it's certainly far better than being Potiphar's favorite, and certainly better than being the prison warden's favorite as well. This is beyond expectation. I suspect he's lying there in bed wondering, now who's going to come along and ruin it all? Right? Who's next? Who's going to bring all this down? But God was in this. And God was going to do what he had planned through the life of Joseph as he lived with an attitude according to what he needed to have. But the thing that impresses me the most about Joseph is we can understand maybe when he's going through the troubles that he has a good spirit because he knows he needs the Lord. All right? Sometimes we can be so close to the Lord when we're going through troubles because I know I need the Lord. But now, in a worldly sense, he doesn't really need the Lord. He's got the riches, he's got the fame, they've got the power, and he's got everything going for him. And with this power, how does he use it? Does he use it in the fear of the Lord still? Or does he use it to seek revenge and allow his flesh to get what it wants? I wonder if you were in that position, how you would respond. You know, if you were someone that had let Joseph down over those years, I suspect you'd be feeling rather nervous because a lot of people in Joseph's position, they would have been holding that bitterness and they would have been holding those desires for revenge And now that they have the ability to do so, they would have quickly inflicted the revenge that they wanted upon those people. And who knows what it may be. Maybe stick Potiphar's wife in the same prison so she knows what it's like, and remove all the power that Potiphar had because he didn't believe him. Maybe make the butler go back to prison for forgetting him. Sending a legion of soldiers to his brothers and annihilating them for what they did. People could have done a lot of things in regards to their pursuit for revenge. And that's the natural fleshly way people act. If you look at the history of the world, when people come to power, generally that's how they act. They inflict all the revenge on those who were out to get them in the past. We even see it in the Bible. Yet not in Joseph's life. He acted in a very meek and loving way and a very forgiving way. I wonder how you would act. A good inkling to know how you would act is by asking how you act now in your smaller capacity. When someone's hurt you, when someone's said something, done something, do you have that resentment and that bitterness continually in your heart? And if you do have that resentment and bitterness in your heart, if you ever get the opportunity to speak evil, do something, seek a little bit of revenge, do you take it? Or do you forgo it because you know in the sight of God that's wrong? So I believe that when Joseph left Pharaoh that day, I think he understood this is a change. And I don't believe he just changed in his heart then, but this is where he was able to express what was really happening in his heart over those years. But he certainly had an opportunity for a new life. He had his wife, he had a position in the land, he had a new home, new responsibilities. And I'm sure he was determined to put aside what happened, leave that to the Lord, and start afresh in that regard. No anger, no bitterness, no revenge, but forgiveness. And what shows me that this was the case is what we read in chapter 41. And this is where we get our title for the message from as well, as Andrew alluded to. In Genesis 41, in verse 50, the first part it says, And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine. And then have a look at the first part of verse 51. And Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. Now, we think of Manasseh and we think of, oh, that's bad, King Manasseh. You wouldn't want to call your son Manasseh. He's a bloodthirsty, terrible guy. But, you know, the word means forgetting. Manasseh means to forget or forgetting. And that fits perfectly with King Manasseh because he forgot all that he had learnt from his father. And he went an evil way. But here, it means something special for Joseph, because if you read on, it says, this was why he called him Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil in all my father's house. That's an interesting statement. God has made me forget all my toil in all my father's house. Now, I'm sure it's not meaning he can't remember all the things he went through. I'm sure it's not meaning that he can't remember his family anymore. I believe what it means is he has forgotten the sting and the pain that came from his turmoil. He forgot all the sting and the hatred that came from his family, and he had forgiven his family and those that had hurt him. And the Lord had helped him to do that. It says, for God said he hath made me forget. This has come from God. God has allowed me to forget the terrible things or forgive what people have done for to me. And we can tell that that was the case by the reaction when he met his brothers many years later. He didn't slay them, and what a beautiful story it is when he meets his brothers. That is a man who has allowed God to forget the hatred and the ways that they treated him and allowed him to forgive them instead. And in fact, we have no record of Joseph seeking revenge upon any of these others. I wonder how the butler felt if he had to pour some sort of wine to Joseph. About those 2 years, I forgot. I hope you're not holding on to that. You know, I was very busy for those 2 years. It was all right in the prison, wasn't it? Anyway, you know, I'm sure he was a bit nervous. If there was a feast and Potiphar being one of the main men, I'm sure he sat. Wonder if Joseph wanted him to sit right next to him. This is your seat, Potiphar, right here. And if we know how he acted with his brothers and sisters, I suspect he did something like that, just to scare him a little bit and then say, hey, look, it's all right. I still love you. I forgive you. Maybe he had Potiphar's wife on the other side. Now, about telling lies. Do you tell lies? I know I could certainly have a bit of fun with all that sort of stuff, but the reality is there is no evidence that he sought revenge, despite it being in his power to do so. He had forgiven. And I wonder, have you ever thought, well, let me say this, we understand why Joseph was able to do that. We're told, it might be worth just reading there in chapter 45, verse 5, when he meets his brothers. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve your life. I just find that amazing. Don't beat yourself up that you threw me in a thing and then you sold me off. Don't beat yourself up. You know, God was in control. He's comforting them. Verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all of the land of Egypt. What we see here is a man who was not angry with God. And he was not seeking revenge from those who did treat him terribly, because he could see the big picture and allow that understand that God was fully in control. And this is something I'd like to put to you. Have you ever thought that those who have let you down in life, maybe the parents that have not treated you right or took you down a path that you didn't want to go, Maybe the siblings that have not spoken well of you, maybe people in authority in one way or another, or friends who have treated you terribly. Have you ever stopped to wonder that God in His sovereignty has allowed that to happen? Even though they have to give they will be judged for their actions, but God has allowed it to happen in that way, so that His perfect will could come to pass. Maybe He allowed people to treat you and act like that so that you could sit under the gospel. And if you want to hear Linda's testimony, listen to her. She could be bitter with a lot of people, but she understands that all the mum, the dad, the foster parents that have let her down, the reality is it brought her to a point where she heard the gospel. And she wouldn't change any of it. She could see the hand of God in the big picture. Have you ever thought that God allowed those things for that reason? Or maybe He understood and knew how stubborn you can be, and the only way He could get you to go a certain direction would be to allow certain things to happen. Would Joseph have ever left his father any other way? I don't believe he would have. Sometimes God allows people to do bad things, but He has a good purpose overall in it. And yes, they have to be judged. God will deal with their sinful actions, but He wants you to trust Him regardless. Maybe He uses some people so that you will stop trusting in man and only trust Him. Too often we don't want to look at the big picture and accept God's in control. We would rather stay bitter with people and resentful for what they've done instead of understanding that God does have plans and He does allow things for one reason or another, and sometimes we may not even understand it until we get to heaven. And you know, sadly, I have counseled too many people that are just overwhelmed with the bitterness of how their parents treated them or what some in their parents did to them. Sometimes it's only perceived things that they did and they cannot get past it. And they have never been able to enjoy what God really wanted to do in their life because they won't give that bitterness away and forgive. Joseph wasn't like that. Those who hated him, spoke unkindly, treated him and wanted to kill him and sold him as a slave, he understood it was for good. These were his words. Let me read them to you. Well, it says, after his brothers, he met his brothers, it says he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck, and moreover he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that his brethren talked with him. That was not the heart of a bitter man. The Lord helped him to forget. And brethren, the truth is we all need those Manasseh days. Sometimes you just need one big Manasseh day, which it seems like it was with Joseph. First son, I call him Manasseh because God has helped me to forgive and forget. Sometimes we might need a Manasseh day every day, once a week, once a month, when those things happen in our life, but we need to allow God to help us to forget the sting and forgive. If we aren't willing to do that, I fear what happens. You're putting yourself in a very dangerous position. But if you are willing to forgive your parents, forgive your spouse, forgive your children, forgive your brethren here, forgive your workmates, forgive whoever it may be, I tell you what, you'll have in a position where you can enjoy what God has planned for you in even allowing those things to come into your life. If you remain bitter, I suspect you'll never see it and never enjoy it. Maybe today is a good day to have a Manasseh day. And you get before the Lord and say, Lord, I've been resentful and bitter. Help me to forget and forgive so I can be used in a manner that pleases you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the great forgiveness that you show us. And Lord, we do ask that you would help us to show that to one another. And that, Lord, then we can enjoy your blessings and direction in our life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.